Well, with weeks and weeks and weeks of recession and climbing job numbers under our belt, the work week is much more about a shift that's taking place in the United States. Since December 2007, we have lost 7 million jobs in our country. That's not an unfamiliar figure. But the majority of those who've lost those jobs have been men. At the same time, women have been returning to the workplace in higher numbers than their male counterparts. So more and more women have taken on the role of primary breadwinner for their families. It has an impact at home and an impact on the job. Joining us now is Ellen Galinsky, president and co-founder of the Families and Work Institute. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning.
And Yolanda Gold-Cavaness is a longtime family and parenting journalist for iVillage and Redbook. She's also here. Good morning, Yolanda.
Hi, how are you?
Now, I'm great. And, you know, they've been calling this the man session, or I don't know what sort of clever term they've been using for quite a while. But with these kinds of numbers, Ellen Galinsky, let's just begin with you. There's some sociology going on here. Are we really seeing a shift that has an impact in the workplace and in homes?
Well, interestingly enough, the majority of the job loss in the beginning was among men, but now it's kind of evened out so that it's 41% of women who have lost jobs, if you take last February to this February,
right,
and up 59% of men. But these shifts actually were happening before the recession. We have been tracking the U.S. workforce with a national study that we do for three decades, and we have seen a real change in both women and men. We've seen that the attitudes about women and men, about the proper roles of taking care of the family and working, have shifted, where that for the first time women and men agree. We see that young women are just as ambitious as young men, and women with children are just as ambitious as children as women without children. And we also see that now women are bringing in 44% of family income, and that one in four women is earning more than her husband or her partner.
And
so there's a real shift going on, but it's been taking place before the recession.
And socially, those things are going to ripple for many years to come. Yolanda Gold-Cavaness, let's talk a little bit about from the employer's perspective here. Are employers seeing young women coming into the workforce at this point as the men are sort of moving out in greater numbers? And are they enthusiastic about these ambitious young women hires?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think that women, young women, have been coming into the workforce for a while now. And, I mean, I just wanted to say, even though, you know, we are talking about women being the primary breadwinners, I'm sure Ellen would agree, let's not get it twisted. You know, the wages that women earn are still lagging far behind the wages that men have earned.
Well, so but it's is not... that is that does that explain the enthusiasm in that employers are going, well, we can get these women for cheap?
Well, it certainly might. I don't think that's something that we can ignore. And I think, you know, when I talk to women around the country, working women, and it doesn't really matter if they have children or don't have children, but, you know, if they don't have children and they're thinking about having children, it certainly does affect them. You know, that's the whole child care situation. It's still, you know, it's a difficult road to toe.
Right. Ellen Galinsky, with so many two-income households, I'm imagining that there are a lot of women on the job who haven't lost their jobs, who have spouses or partners who have lost their jobs. Does that require changes on the part of employers in looking at the flexibility and the need for this suddenly single-income household to cope?
Well, there has been a real shift among employers around flexibility. It used to be seen as a perk, something that you would do under the table for a good employee, but you certainly didn't want a lot of people knowing about it, because who would be there if you need them to work, et cetera. In this recession, and we actually did a study, a nationally representative study of employers, we found that 81% of them, that's 4 in 5 of them, were maintaining the flexibility that they had as a result of the recession, and 13% were increasing it, and only 6% were cutting it back. And that represents the fact that employers are now seeing that they can help employees at the same time that they can help employers. Now, taking Yolanda's point, we looked at whether or not people, this flexibility was voluntary or not, or were they just furloughing people. And a little bit more than half of employees have choices about working working more flexibly. We define flexibility as needing to work for the employer and the employee. So some of the flexibility that's happening is really to just manage. But I think employers, employees, on the other hand, would rather have a job than no job. So
indeed. Well, Ellen Galinsky, of course, president and co-founder of the Families and Work Institute, speaking from New York. Yolanda, before we go, final question. Is it possible that with all the caveats you've mentioned, that this recession is really bringing on a degree of progressivity in the workplace and in gender relationships at home between men and women that we might not have seen otherwise?
I say a decade ago, you talk to women around the country, the theme song would have probably been the Rolling Stones, "I Can't Get No Satisfaction." It's slowly improving. I think that when you talk to women now, they know that you have to negotiate with your employer, and they feel confident doing that. They need to go negotiate with their partners at home, and they need to let go of the perfection complex that many of them have. Myself, I tell myself every day, I am not Claire Huxtable. It works for me.
All right, well, you and me, we're going to have to look for a new song to replace "I Don't Get No Satisfaction." Yolanda Gold-Cavernous, a longtime family and parenting journalist whose work has appeared in iVillage and Redbook. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
So we're talking about genius on The Takeaway. If you have anything to add to our conversation on genius, you know how to reach us, 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Todd Zwillick. It's The Takeaway.